Wake up, America. It's time for Michael Dean After Dark. Michael Dean Frimfine. And this is the late night feisty. We have a rotating stable of interesting insomniac co-hosts. Plus, we leave the phone lines open. So if the hamster in your brain is keeping you up, please call in.
Yep. This is Michael Dean, the Iron Hamster. And on the other end of the tubes, we have Derek J, also known as the Warrant Canary, which I'm going to explain. Are you there, Derek?
Here with you, the Warrant Canary. Can hear you.
Yeah, I am having interweb problems because I had a lightning strike near my house recently on my birthday in my backyard. It knocked my power out. It came right back on. And somebody told me that I have to replace all of my surge protectors, and that I also may have to replace my modem. And I'm like, oh, my modem's fine. And the guy's like, yeah, it'll slowly start to hang, and you'll have problems with it. And I think that's happening. So I'm having the same problem I had last night, and my internet's otherwise look pretty good. And I think we also have Ian Freeman. Are you there, Ian?
I am here.
Ian, we need a Freedom Fiends wrestling animal name for you. You want to think of one?
Wrestling animal name.
Yeah, I'm the Iron Hamster.
I don't know what that even means.
Well, I'm the Iron
Hamster. I'm the Warrant Canary.
Okay, a warrant. Let me explain.
Is there some kind of...
A Warrant Canary is... have you heard the term, Ian? Warrant Canary?
No.
It was a new one for me as well, but it's pretty cool.
Yeah, you know how... after the Patriot Act, you know, the Jail All the Patriots Act, there's a weird provision in there where they can contact you and threaten you with a subpoena from a secret court, and part of the proviso of it is that you cannot tell anyone you were contacted. Have you heard about this?
Right. Yes.
So people
the
will
national do, security letters.
Yeah, and actually, sometimes you can't even talk to a lawyer, which is weird and Stalinistic, but Soviet. But there's a way around that for people. It's called a warrant canary, and it's basically. They'll put on their website every month, we have not been contacted by the government this month. And then if that's ever not there, you know, they've been contacted. And there's a lot of people who say that what TrueCrypt did with totally hosing their website was their form of a warrant canary. And the Freedom Fiends, Ben Stone decided what our warrant canary is going to be. As you know, we say worms, like as aloha, like hello, goodbye, you speak the truth, yes, I agree. We say worms. If we ever stop saying worms and start saying word exclusively, we've been compromised. So that's
wow, that will be the warrant canary.
Yeah, and we thought the warrant canary was a good name for Derek because, you know, he's been in jail, he's had an arrest warrant, and... He's also like a canary. He's colorful. He's musical. He's sing-songy. He's flamboyant. He floats around and flits around, and he's the warrant canary. So,
oh, you're so kind. Thanks.
So
thanks, Michael.
We have all these. We've made up wrestling names for the. It's connected with a button. Group of buttons that Davy Barker is making for Porkfest. Mm. We started with one, which is the. The Pork Scouts, because that's from his book. His zombie book has like the anarchist Pork Scouts in it. And the Pork Scouts have badges. And I told him how when I was in Cub Scouts, the first badge you get in Cub Scouts just for joining is the Bearcat badge. And you're supposed to put it on upside down in the morning, and then you turn it upside down after you've done a good deed for somebody. So he's making the Honey Badger badge, which is you put it on upside down, and you can't turn it right side up until you've broken a nanny law or done some activism that day. And then he's going to also have a badge with a canary on it. And if you ever don't wear the badge, you've been compromised.
Oh, brilliant.
Yeah. So it's he's making a series of buttons, which will later be badges based on which buttons are most popular for Porkfest. And we're trying to come up with little rituals for each badge to make them more fun.
Well, I love the idea. Yep. Do you have a favorite already?
Well, he made one that's kind of a combination of it's the radio badge for participating
yeah,
in radios,
about.
Radio or podcasting. And it's sort of a bastardization of the Free Talk Live logo, but, it's combined with it says creamy Liberty Audio. So it's a combination of Freedom Fiends and Free Talk Live. And it's got an RE20 in a fist surrounded by a breaking chain. That's
yeah, it's
favorite.
Like a power to the people logo.
Yeah, so the names we have, the wrestling names we have for the Fiends, Lusander is the Titanium Meerkat, I'm the Iron Hamster, Davy is, of course, the Shiny Badger, J. Jack Johnson's the rabid raccoon. Nikki Darling is Freedom Master. Diana is the laughing kitty. Randy England is the Wumpus cat. Derek J is the warrant canary. Garrett Fox is the foxy fox. Ben Stone is the steel viper. And he also has this in Spanish, La Vibro de Esro. I'm probably saying that wrong. And my wife, the DJ, the fiend behind the scene, is the Ferris Ferret, since she's married to the Iron Hamster. And Bill Buford is the silver snow leopard. So Ian needs one since he's on tonight.
Cute. That's the cutest one.
I don't know, man. Whatever you want to bestow on me is fine.
I don't know. I got to think about it. They have to come to you. It's like the medicine man goes into the tent and has a vision.
I wouldn't want to force it. So yeah, I agree.
Hey, have you ever seen the movie Ian?
There'll be plenty of visions at Porkfest. And by the way, it should be interesting to have your show live in the middle of the night at Porkfest.
Yeah, have the sober guy letting the tripping people on and talking to them in the middle of the night. That'll be fun. Yeah, I'm looking forward to it. Hey, Ian, have you ever seen the Christian Slater movie Pump Up the Volume, where he plays a pirate radio guy?
Yes. One of my favorites.
Great movie. I saw it tonight. It's on YouTube. I'm going to link it in the show notes, and Davi and I are going to review it tomorrow night. It's a really cool movie. Comments? Oh, we lost him. Well, they cut out. I don't even know if we're connected to...
Difficulty connecting.
Yeah, man. Yeah. I don't know what's
Michael
up.
Dean tonight. I said, what was his name, Michael? Was it Harry Hardon?
Harry Hard. He had a couple names. It was Hard Harry and something Harry Hardon. And and Talk Hard. That was his motto. Talk Hard.
Yeah. I like it. He drives around in like a Jeep with transmitting equipment in the back of it.
Yeah. And there's, I guess I could say spoiler alert, but it's kind of like I looked at the movie poster and I'm like, okay, Christensen, and he's a pirate radio guy. I'm like, I know how this is going to go. He's going to play a weird loner. He's going to have a pirate radio show. He's going to run into trouble with the school administrators and ultimately the FCC, and he's going to battle it and take a hit for everybody, and somehow society will benefit. And that's exactly what happened.
It was wonderful.
Yeah, man. Yeah.
The world needs more pirate radio movies. I haven't seen the newer one, the one that came out within the last decade called Pirate Radio. I've not seen that one.
Yeah, the one that's about the one on the ship, which is why they call them pirate radio, because they were on ships.
The Boat That Rocked is the name. I think the movie, when it was released in the UK, and then they changed it to Pirate Radio over here. Yeah. I actually met one of those guys at a talk radio, one of the talk radio conferences that Mark and I have been to over the years. There was this guy, his name's Charlie Wolf, I believe, and he was just there sitting at one of our we were at a table having lunch, and you talk to people at the table, and he was telling us all these old stories from being in the, the boat that rocked. I mean, essentially, it was amazing, some of the stories they had.
That's great. You guys talked about seasteading a bunch today, and that was kind of an interesting form of temporary autonomous seasteading, and that's why pirate radio, a lot of people don't know this, it's called pirate radio because they did it from ships, so they couldn't be caught, and they were in international waters.
Wow, that is really cool. I didn't
even know that.
Really? No. Yeah.
Yeah, well, how's the any government agency going to find you out in the middle of the waters somewhere? But then I would wonder if the signal even reaches pretty well.
Yeah, it goes over water real well.
Okay.
Well, I think they've expanded international waters, too. I think it used to be like 11 miles, and now I think it's like 120 miles. So I don't think they had to go as far back then.
I see.
Yeah. So, yeah, for seasteading, I sent you guys an email today. Mark was really going on and on about seasteading, and I had a one-liner joke I didn't want to bother calling in with, but I'll just say it now since 8 of the same people are listening. I think that Mark should do a chip-in to see how many people from Stop Free Keen would chip in money to get Mark to move onto a boat in international waters and bring a bunch of Free Keeners with him.
Yeah, that sounds like a great idea. I would be on board.
Yeah. I understand.
I can't wait to see these.
I understand where he's coming from, but it's like, I kind of think he's suffering from this thing that alcoholics suffer from of like taking a geographic cure, of thinking if they move somewhere else, they'll stop drinking. You know, if you're thinking if you go somewhere else offshore or to space, you'll get freedom. But I don't think it's going to be that easy, man.
I agree. And I didn't bring that point up tonight during that discussion, but it's like, people that try to run away from their problems, wherever you go, there you are. If you don't solve whatever the issue is within you, it's just going to re-manifest itself in the new location. And I think government is, as we know it, the state is an issue inside human beings. And until it can be solved internally amongst enough of us, we're never going to see it leave.
Yeah, worms. I said worms, not word, because I have not been contacted by the government today. Have you guys been contacted by the government today?
Thankfully,
yes.
No.
I got my discovery, a big packet of papers in the case where I'm facing 2 years in jail for
the car registration thing.
Getting a license in my name, Ian Freeman, after I had I got my license in my given name, which is Ian Bernard, when a day after legally changing it through the probate court system. And they're claiming that by getting a license in my old name, my original name, that was using a false name. So now all of a sudden because I've gone through a legal name change, now my given name is considered a false or fictitious name by the people inside the system. And I obviously don't consider it a false name, even though I've changed my name.
Yeah.
So. Is there a certain amount of time that you'd be facing if found guilty of?
Two years. Yeah. I'm a big puss with things like that. Someone once asked me if they could register their car at my house. And I said, no way. I don't want that. If you get in trouble, I'll get in trouble. You cats there? Oh, we've lost them. Well, I'm going to talk about this movie, Pump Up the Volume, Pump Up the Valium. And we're going to see what we can do about it. It's so the movie is on YouTube. Fiend, hang on.
Colorado Studio is calling me.
Fiend, yeah. Phone.
Yeah. Are you guys there?
Oh, he's back.
I blame the government for these problems. Yeah,
this has got to be god awful for the listeners. But you were saying something about being a puss.
Yeah, I was saying I'm kind of a puss. I mean, somebody I know like once actually asked me if they could register their car at my house, and I was like, I wouldn't do that. I'll get in trouble.
Yes, risk is involved in this freedom thing.
Yep. We're going to see if we can fix things during the break here. Oh, wait, I'm not supposed to say break. That's what Ian told me in Ian's radio college. We're going to the free market. The free market.
You were destined to be listening to this show, Michael Dean After Dark, on this very night. Thank you for arriving. When you shop online, please do it through the Freedom Fiends Amazon link over on the right side of freedomfiends.com. It won't cost you any extra, and the Fiends will get a little taste from Amazon, and Amazon will save you the danger of drive-by stabbings at your local mall. Amazon sells pretty much everything you can buy on this earth, except for guns and weed. But they do sell the DVD Guns and Weed: The Road to Freedom. So get that for your gun-hating stoner brother or neocon gun nut dad. They'll thank you for it. That's freedomfiends.com. Freedom, Foxtrot, Echo, Echo, November, Sierra.com.
This is Michael Dean, the Iron Hamster, talking with Derek J., the Warrant Canary, Worms. And we also have on the other end of the line with Derek J., we have Ian Freeman, the Freebird. That's all I got for now. If you can do better, I'd love to hear it. So what happened today in Keene? Tell us the latest breaking news. Did this happen after Free Talk Live?
No, I believe it was happening during Free Talk Live. I heard about it thanks to the help of a two-way communicator, a tool that some activists use in Keene, New Hampshire, to communicate what's happening immediately in our geography.
Did you guys talk about this on Free Talk Live, Ian?
No, actually we did in the an after show, so only the podcast listeners
good,
heard about
it. All I'm concerned about is that we're scooping Free Talk Live, so go
this
ahead,
is breaking,
guys.
This is breaking news, and it is a scoop, absolutely.
Yeah, this is breaking. I heard about it on my radio. I heard a distress call from an activist who's typically in the square, does Robin Hooding and does some drawing pictures of chalk on the downtown area. Usually things like smiley faces and peace symbols. But there's a group of people who are so upset by these chalk drawings that they spend their days and hours taking water buckets and removing the chalk themselves. And the city has actually had people hired to do it. Some local downtown businesses have hired their employees to do it. It's gotten a little crazy. And today it erupted in a scene of violence. Up until today, it's been just a communication technique. People using chalk to spread their message, and then people washing that message away. That's their message. But today, the people who don't like the chalk got so fed up that a man who was chalking got his neck injured.
How badly? How badly was he
injured? He had to go to the hospital.
Oh, wow. Who was
he? Apparently still in the emergency room. Actually, if you go to freekeen.com, you can see the guy's picture. I happened to blog about him earlier in the day. It was the night prior, so not last, I guess, well, Tuesday, Monday night. Monday night, the very same individual was out at Central Square chalking. And when activists are out in Central Square chalking, we make the chalk available to anybody who wants to come up and chalk, whether it's small children or a family, or in this case, the gentleman's name is Yankee. He is a local in the area, not Free Keen. You know, he's not a Free Keen blogger, although everyone's calling him a Free State Project member and a Free Keen participant, etc. So he had been chalking in the square, and one of the members of Stop Free Keen, the sort of the anti-freedom group in town, came up with a bucket and started to wash off the chalk, which is kind of their MO. And so I guess Yankee was upset about that, and he and another local started to say things that were probably not so nice to the member of Stop Free Keen. That escalated into a shouting match between the parties, which then resulted in two men coming over from the side of the road, the other side of the street, resulted in them coming over in a way that was looking like they were going to fight. One of them was rolling up his sleeves. Another one had threatened previously, and they both came over. The guy rolling up his sleeves did attack one of the locals and hit him, kind of sucker punched him when he was turned around. That was the only interaction of violence on that night, but it made it so that I wrote this article in response to Stop Free Keen, where I was basically called this man's puppet master, Yankee. And he was referred to as my ape. I mean, it's just very insulting group of people, this the Stop Free Keen folks. And so I wrote an article saying, look, just because somebody claims to be part of Free Keen doesn't mean they actually are, because apparently Yankee told a business owner downtown that he was part of Free Keen. Now there's been a correction where he said something about that he was part of the people of Keen. But anyway, she misinterpreted it and thought that he had said, or maybe he did say it, who knows who's telling the truth, but that he was part of Free Keen. So I wrote this lengthy response like, look, when you're out in public, anybody can come around and act a fool, right? Like, you know, we did this at the 420 celebrations in Keen, where a good 80% of the people there were locals. We couldn't control who showed up to these things. I remember getting having a conversation with a police officer one day after the 420s. He came up to me and he said, do you support people jumping in front of ambulances? And I said, no, why would you think I would support something like that? And he said, well, I saw one of your people do it at the 420. And I said, wow. I don't know what you're talking about. There were all kinds of people at the 420 celebrations, and I can't imagine someone from freekeen.com would jump in front of an ambulance that was trying to go to a call and dance in front of the ambulance in order to hold it up. I mean, that's ridiculous. But, you know, we get the blame as the kind of the out in front activists for anything anyone does. And so that same character, Yankee, was out there today, and he was seriously injured after having a verbal confrontation with that same business owner.
Wow. We'll have more.
All over chalk. All over chalk.
That's mind-blowing. We'll have more about the chalk wars in Keene after this trip to the free market, which we just call the market.
You're listening to Michael Dean After Dark, the invigorating alternative to those other late-night shows. You've read books, attended lectures, and you know the Constitution well enough to know it's a well-crafted blueprint to create an ever-increasing federal empire. But there's still one thing missing.
Buttons!
Freedom Fiends now has buttons. You'll get state speech is hate speech, guns and weed,
buy sheep for sheep on sheep,
and two designs for the Freedom Fiends. Wear them with pride. Use them to start conversations with statists.
It's only $10 for 10 buttons, including shipping.
Go to freedomfiends.com and click on the link at the top that says buttons.
Hey, this is Squisscar Squiggles from Death Clocks. And you are listening to the Freedom Fiends on the, you know, the radios. And I guess it says worms now. So there you go.
What does freedom mean? Tune in to LRN.FM to find out. LRN.FM is the Liberty Radio Network, a collection of live talk radio and podcasts, all coming from a principled pro-liberty perspective. LRN.FM show hosts aren't left, right, or conspiracy kooks. You can tune in 24/7 to LRN.FM via your phone, computer, satellite, and more. Listen free anytime at LRN.FM. That's LRN.FM.
Michael Dean, the Iron Hamster, and Ian wants me to go look at something on the Stop Freaking site, but it's video, and I have to save my bandwidth because apparently the NSA messing with everybody isn't enough. What I think happened is that they pointed the HAARP array in Alaska at my house and made lightning strike at a tree in my backyard and mess up my modem. So I'm having my tubes aren't as big as they usually are. But so go on with this story about, please, about what happened today in Keene.
Well, today it was a little bit different. There was already some people who chalk the square, the downtown park area, and they go down and draw beautiful pictures. They're usually peaceful messages, free Chelsea Manning and things like that. And so that's what they were doing. And there were some employees who didn't like that in the nearby town, in the local restaurants and such. They came out with buckets and started washing away. That's the typical exchange that happens. And I consider that a peaceful resistance on both parts, because it's totally peaceful to chalk your ideas on the street and it's totally peaceful to wash them away. You know, arguments could be made on either side about it being vandalism.
Let me ask you this.
There are no blows.
Has it ever been settled whether that's legal or not in that town?
Yeah, it's 100% legal to chalk. The police will claim that you can't chalk on vertical spaces. Like
people have been arrested for that in Manchester. They've been arrested for chalking on like a wall outside of the police department, for instance.
Yeah, in fact, today is the anniversary of the chalking 8 arrests that happened in Manchester, New Hampshire for that very crime. But the thing that was different about today was that instead of a cold war of words, a man simply came up with another woman who is a local business owner. This is all alleged. There's video forthcoming, but the allegation is that she was angry, started pushing the young man who was chalking, this Yankee character. And then a man, one of her employees, finished the job, pushed him into the fountain, and where his neck snapped, his head hit audibly.
There's a huge rock, by the way. If you've never seen pictures of Central Square in Keene, New Hampshire, the fountain is not just like a fountain with water coming up. There's a humongous, like, I don't know if it's granite or whatever it is, but there's this huge rock thing in the middle of the fountain. So apparently his head smashed on this rock as he fell into the fountain.
Yeah, right into an enormous rock, and then there's water down below that. So he had to be taken out and laid down onto the ground. When I arrived at the scene,
you did go.
Okay. Yes, I went immediately. As soon as I heard there was something going on in Central Square, thanks to these two-way radios, which are awesome, by the way.
And underused. We need more activists to use these things, but in Keene, we actually do use them to some extent.
Well, it was great because someone radioed over the two-way communicators, and I picked it up, and a group of us had a car nearby, and they said, let's go down. I grabbed my camera and started rolling. When I arrived on the scene, there was already an ambulance and three cop cars there. I just jumped out of the car and started walking towards the scene where Yankee was still on the ground being treated by medical personnel and some police officers. The police were gathering some information about the young man who had committed the crime, but they didn't seem very interested in going after him. They were just collecting information, saying they couldn't do anything about it. And that was the part that was so strange to me, is this guy was right just 20 feet away in some building where,
oh, really?
Yeah, where he was being protected by his employer. So this man who commits a crime, the police are told about it, given an identity, and then they don't go after him. I mean, they'll stop you for smoking pot in the park and they'll arrest you for that, but you commit an assault and break someone's neck and they won't have any part of it.
Now, I did read some of the posts over at the Stop Free Keene Facebook group, which you can actually access quickly by going to haters.freekeene.com. And the story, according to the business owner who was in this conflict, this verbal conflict with Yankee, another one of the locals, she claims he grabbed her by the arm. Mm. And it was when he grabbed her by the arm is when this other guy shoved him into the fountain.
Is there video of the assault?
I'm not clear on that.
It's not 100% clear. There is video that was taken. It's just not clear where the lens was pointed at that moment because it was such a tumultuous time.
You guys need
And Derek wasn't on the scene for the assault. So there was, I think, only one camera on the scene during the assault. I'm not real clear on that. But we do have pictures of the assailant. We have clear pictures of the assailant. That much I've confirmed, and those will be going up on Freaky.
Well, the strangest part was that wasn't the end of it. So the police go away, and hopefully they're pursuing this criminal. But then there is a strange man wearing red. He looks tough, and he comes over walking from that same restaurant where the criminal was being housed. He comes over to the square with his tough guy look and his bulky shoulders, and he rips up his shirt a little bit, lifts up his shirt to show he's got a gun. And then he walks on through the square and comes back with two more guys who also have guns. Hmm. And then they decide to sit in the gazebo that's in the center of the park and just stand there. They're just sitting at the gazebo, staring out at the activists who are chalking. And they say something to the effect of, we're going to be here for a while. So, you know, you can just get out of here. They were trying to claim ownership of the park and say, get out of here. We're the muscle. We've got the guns, and we're going to intimidate you out of this park. To me, it says that they've lost the war of words. Like, if you can't defend your ideas, if you can't explain your ideas to people and talk about freedom and how to make the world a better place, if all you can do is brandish a gun and make people afraid of you, well, then you've lost a lot.
Well, that's all they've ever had. I mean, they've never had ideas. I mean, the history of Stop Freaking has been a history of destruction of ideas, of shutting down ideas, of stopping discussion, refusing to talk. I mean, their first public appearance was a silent protest where approximately 20 of the people from Stop Freaking came out holding signs, most of which were personal attacks against me. anyway, there's video of that at freaking.com too. But during this protest, Garrett Ian, one of the bloggers at Freaking, tried to engage them in conversation, and not a single person responded to them. And I've tried to invite them, some of the members of Stop Freaking, you know, like there's a...
So were the guys brandishing guns?
I'll have coffee with you. Let's talk.
Were the guys brandishing guns part of Stop Freaking?
Hard to say.
It is not clear to me. However, one of the men, the man who I described wearing red, the one who first charged in and lifted up his shirt, appears to me to be this business owner's son.
Yeah, it
looks although
like
I'm not 100% sure. But
I'd say we're close to 100% on that. There's been some research.
Man,
going
I hope this
and
doesn't.
This individual does appear to be your son.
I hope this doesn't escalate and be remembered in 100 years like the Range Wars in Wyoming or something.
We're not escalating anything. I mean, the liberty activists certainly aren't escalating. During the fight that happened last night, or the night prior to last night, during that fight, it was Garrett Ian who was the voice of, you know, hey, calm down, you know, break this up. Let's hold on. This isn't cool. He was trying to de-escalate the situation. So, you know, basically, you've got a situation between locals and locals. I mean, really, it's the activists that are essentially now being caught in the crossfire.
And what's interesting is some activists are now saying, hey, we should back off this chalk thing. It's escalated way too far. I don't want to see anyone get hurt. And then there are other activists who are saying, well, I'm not going to be intimidated by threats of violence and force. I'm going to keep chalking and do it with more, you know, more gusto than ever before.
I kind of wonder if you guys didn't have any opposition, if this would have faded out by now, or there wouldn't be much chalking. I mean, are there people, I'm not saying, oh, you're just doing it because people don't like you, but do you think it would be that common if there wasn't so much opposition to it?
Yeah, I have to say, I don't do the chalking. I don't enjoy it. That's not my style, but I think that a lot of people have been taking up the helm of chalking every day, every hour, just to make sure that they're winning. You know, they're winning this cold
it's
war.
The
I see it as people trying to censor
the
them.
I see
effect.
It as an occupation of the central square at this point. I mean, I have chalked in the past. There has been chalking in the past. No, I would say there would not be as much chalking had the folks from Stop Freaking not shown up and started to clean up the chalking. So I think what happened after they started to clean up the chalkings was that essentially people were more interested in holding that territory, so to speak, and occupying the park with their artwork rather than allowing the forces of deletion, as Garrett referred to them, or the agents of deletion, to have their way with this beautiful artwork.
Well, but another interesting thing about the chalk, Ian, is that the Freaking activists who chalk in the square are often giving out chalk to young children and other people who walk by who want to participate. And one interesting thing that happened today, after that man brandished his weapon and was holding the gazebo hostage, was a family came by with two young girls, and it looked like they wanted to play with the chalk, and they were confused and scared seeing these men washing this chalk away, and they were just standing there staring, trying to figure this out. I eventually went up to the mother and asked, "What do you think is happening here?" And she said, I think it's a political argument. And I asked her to elaborate a little. She just pretty much repeated herself and couldn't understand where either side was coming from, really. But I asked, would your children like to chalk? And eventually, yes, they did. Did chalk, and it was right in front of the men with the guns. And what could they do about it?
You're going to shoot a little kid?
Yeah, is that what you're going to do? Is that the image that you want to portray? So I think that the activists who are pro-chalk, pro-peace are clearly winning here.
So you're in bedding with innocence.
Well, it was just cute to be able to take a
video. I didn't say you're using human shields. I said you're in bedding with innocence. I'm being cute.
Sure.
Hey, well, Ian, I think that this is a great opportunity for some national press. I think you should get a really tight press release up and send it to all your national press contacts. Are you going to do that?
It's an interesting idea. I hadn't really considered it.
Much better if it had video. But
we've got video.
Yeah, I've got lots of video of the man with his neck being treated.
But not of it happening.
Not of the actual attack that we know of at this point. But we got plenty of video of people cleaning up smiley faces, which is pretty amusing.
I think this one is definitely a candidate for, send out an email blast sometime tonight.
Yeah, well, the most ridiculous thing is that it all started with chalk. I mean, it hasn't escalated beyond anything. It's not like there's a love interest or some triangle affair or anything more interesting than just chalk messages. And for it to get to the point where blood is being drawn in the streets is just insane.
Well, it makes you wonder, what would things be like if libertarians actually got in some level of political control and then started to propose repealing all these government programs that so many people rely on? I mean, if people are going to violence over chalk, imagine if they're going to lose welfare benefits.
Yeah, or government jobs, which are welfare benefits.
That too.
Where you have to go sit in a chair 8 hours a day. We'll be back with more after this trip to the market. I've got Ian's name too, Ian's animal name.
You're listening to Michael Dean After Dark. And yes, we're broadcasting this message into space.
Creamy Radio Audio. Want caviar sound on a cat food budget? Creamy Radio Audio by the Freedom Fiends has great free tips so you can sound like a pro without spending like one. The most powerful form of human communication is one person speaking to another. But if people have to suffer through your sound, they'll change the channel and miss your message. With articles on microphones, preamps, recorders, mastering, recording remotely over the internet, doing a podcast, even getting a show on actual radio, the Freedom Fiends show you what they use and where to get it. Whether you're a talk show host, voiceover artist, podcaster, evangelist, or just want to record your loved ones for the ages, at Creamy Radio Audio, the Freedom Fiends will help you make the most of your sound. Creamy Radio Audio will help you speak to the world with sound that will make people want to keep listening. Check out creamyradioaudio.com. That's creamyradioaudio.com.
Yeah, this is the Freedom Fiends Talk Radio Musical Extravaganza. And I am Michael Dean, also known as the Iron Hamster. Over on the other end of the tubes, we have Derek J., also known as the Warrant Canary. And Ian Freeman. I came up with his Freedom Fiends animal wrestler name, and it is the Granite Coot.
Oh, that's good.
I went to a webpage called... What?
Why?
I went to a webpage of Animals of New Hampshire, and one is a bird called the American Coot. I was looking for birds because, you know, I was trying to do something with Freebird, Freeman. But, yeah, it's kind of cheesy. Freebird, like a Freebird. And I found
it
the coot.
It looks kind of like a duck.
Yeah, and a coot is a name for, like, you know, crazy old coots on some old man ranting on the radio. So, and, you know, I don't think he wants to be the American coot because that's like America. But Granite, you're proud that you've moved to that region, and it's the Granite region. So you are the Granite coot, Ian.
Oh, thanks.
A granite coot can't fly.
Really?
It's like a Led Zeppelin. Yeah. And look how well they did. So we're going to end up this segment with 5 minutes of redemption in the third, moving towards redemption in the third act on the the chalk wars, the chalk range wars in Keene. Go.
I think it's a war on chalk. I mean, I don't feel like I've been accused by my co-host, Mark, of wanting conflict, and I don't, that's not
that
my
guy,
interest.
We should talk the next whole segment, the next 15-minute segment after the break about Mark.
I don't know if that's appropriate.
I want to talk about Mark.
He's not here to defend himself.
I'm kidding. Well, wake him up. he has that mic. I told him to get that mic. He can broadcast from home.
I tested it with him today. It sounded great, by the
way.
Yeah,
man. It's the one.
But I don't think his wife would like it if we called his landline this late.
You just made me spit soda, man. Okay. I don't want to. I didn't really mean, like, let's be mean to Mark. I was just like, you know, let's kind of giggle about him being. He just goes to, like, at least once a show.
He's the granite coot.
Yeah.
There you go.
So, you know, I'm not interested in conflict. I mean, that's not what I want. I just want chalk. You know, I just want to be able to chalk smiley faces and, you know, have fun in Central Square. It's really a war on chalk. You know, it's kind of like a war on drugs. This is the Stop Free Keene folks war on chalk, and it's really sad.
Yeah, because it doesn't really matter what the chalk says, if it's...
Or who draws with it. Like, I mean, there have been children that have chalked, and they've had their chalkings removed, too. They're just indiscriminately removing any chalking whatsoever from Central Square. In fact, I was told by one of the prime chalkers today, Mariah, that apparently a pastor from the church at the head of the square, this kind of iconic New England church, it's one of the icons of Keene, that he actually... commissioned her, asked her specifically to draw something in front of the church, and of course they went over and removed that as well. So in that case, the owner of that property asked for some chalking.
Do they also remove the kids' chalking, like, while the kids are doing it, the way they do with the Free Keene people?
Yeah, they totally did that today. It was embarrassing. I mean, I was embarrassed for them as I was capturing the video.
You got the video of that happening?
Yeah, of course. I'm not going to miss that.
Well, that's enough with the story and pictures you have to make a national press release.
Yeah, I think it is too. Yeah. But there's a lot of positive things that come out of this. Like, I think the escalation, while we saw that there can be
besides
some violent,
the guy with a broken neck.
Yeah, besides the violent escalation, there's been some creative escalation that's taken place where the Stop Free Keene group has apparently bought, or they, I don't know if they're acquiring the protection of a road. I don't know how that works. When you adopt a road and you make it nicer, well, they want to make the roads nicer, and this is an opportunity for everyone to improve their game, to make the world a better place as they see it. And so I hope that the Stop Free Keene people and the Free Keene people are trying to make the neighborhood as beautiful as they possibly can. That's just one opportunity where people have stepped up. Another is that they're producing more media. The Stop Free Keene group is producing a blog. They're focusing on what the Free Keeners are doing, and they're putting more attention on it, frankly. I think it's borders on fandom. Like, they're actually following and watching what the Free Keeners are up to.
Excellent. Got any closing arguments there, Mr. Coot? Granite Coot?
Thanks. No.
All right. We'll be back with hour two, like this guy's about to
You're
tell
listening
you.
Listening to Michael Dean After Dark. Go to michaelwdean.com. That's michaelwdean.com.
Good evening, my fellow worms.
I know some things.
I'll be back with more later on.
I'm never satisfied.
This is Michael Dean After Dark.
The stato sperimentato.
The United States government presents
no vision. Congrats.
Not having enough money.
The power was so great.
To provide guidance to mankind.
Go to michaelwdean.com for more. That's michaelwdean.com. We'll be back for hour two after this trip to the market on Michael Dean After Dark.
Bye for now.
Love the Fiends and want to help out? We do take donations and we put them back into our Liberty Projects. You can make a donation by clicking on the spinning coin on any post. But what if you want to help, but you ain't got no cash? Or you made a donation and you want to help more? Here's how you can help. Download and seed our torrents to help keep us drone-proof. There's a Torrent Club link at the top of freedomfiends.com. You can also blog the Fiends and share episode links on Facebook, Twitter, and elsewhere. You can rate and review our movies on Amazon and IMDb. You can rate and review the Freedom Fiends and our songs on iTunes. That really helps a lot. You can buy our movies and share them with friends or give them out as gifts. And one of the best ways to spread liberty is to buy a bunch of Freedom Fiends buttons and give them out as gifts. Wholesale prices are available, and you can also comment on our site, or better yet, comment about us on other sites. And please email the site link to all your friends. Thanks for helping spread the Fiends message worldwide to as many Liberty people as you can, especially to those who don't yet get it. You rock.
This is Michael Dean, the Iron Hamster, on Freedom Fiends After Dark. Freedom Fiends, the best-sounding radio show in the world, except for Free Talk Live, but it sounds even better tonight because we got part of Free Talk Live here. We got Ian Freeman. And I've been recommending people go out and get this mic. It's the Audio-Technica USB-2005. It's about $55. There's a link on freedomfiends.com. If you scroll over down on the right-hand side, on the right sidebar, there's a link that says, get the great inexpensive mic our co-hosts use. And we're actually doing a live radio show on syndicated radio with 10 rotating co-hosts plus me, and the co-hosts are all calling in during via Skype. And for an example of what you sound like when you're not using this mic, we have Liberty Phoenix calling in, who does not have a good mic.
So, hey, guys.
Go ahead, Liberty Phoenix.
So I'm working with my Samson CO1U condenser mic. It's not the greatest. It's not the Audio Technica. But it'll be effective until I get some more funds or a better laptop that can power my dynamic one.
How far away from it are you?
About 3 inches.
Okay. That was my only question to improve your sound, and that's where I was going to send you, but you're already there. So what's on your mind?
So I was listening to you guys talking about the chalking incidents and everything, and I was thinking maybe there's something better that the three team individuals could chalk other than just peace signs and smiley faces. I was taking a look at the Free Team website, and they have that brochure there that's based off of the philosophy of liberty. And you know, what if they decided to actually start, you know, putting down like, you know, little tidbits of information, like you own your own life.
It wouldn't make a difference. It's not about the message. It's about the medium, right, Ian? Right.
Well, first of all, we've done that stuff. I mean, not specific excerpts from that flyer that you're talking about, but amongst the peace signs and the smiley faces, there are statements. There are, you know, peace-oriented statements. There are liberty-oriented statements. I mean, I've recently written "Peace is the Way." That was one of the things I've written in a few other different phrases. If you look at the initial video at freekeen.com of the very first kind of War on Chalk video, where the Stop Free Keen folks come down and start. There's two of them, and they're brushing up the smiley faces. There is a scene in that video where you can see some of the phrases that were chalked on that same day and were removed. So it's not just symbols. There are actual statements as well.
That's awesome, because I really think that would have a much more effective impact on the psyches of the status that still wants a ruler.
Cool.
I don't know if it has an impact on the folks who are cleaning up the chalk. I really don't.
I think it does. So. I think it does. I disagree with both of you. I was watching them today as they were removing the chalk, and they at least read it. So they're interested in what is written there. If they weren't interested, if they weren't reading any of the stuff, then I would agree with you. But they appear to be reading it, and that's at least a step in the right direction. Maybe they're going to take these ideas to heart. Who knows?
I have a suggestion for an interesting test. Next time they're out there, you know, cleaning it behind you while you're writing it. What if you started writing really pro-status statements just as a lark and see what they do with it?
Well, Garrett, one of the activists, has done something like that where he says stuff like, I love freedom, and then they have to wash that away, and it looks really bad to have someone on camera washing away the statement, I love freedom.
Have him write like, the state is great, we need more government, higher taxes and less freedom. Seriously,
not
do
pretty
it.
Keen.
Yeah,
I gotta make sure you put those three exclamations.
I don't know if Ian could like get those words out of his hand. I think his hand would fall off, but I think somebody else could do it. All right,
yeah, well, thanks for your time, guys.
Thanks, man.
Hey,
thanks for your call.
Hey, you should come up here and chalk with us. It's a lot of fun.
Yeah.
I'm definitely going to be there for Pork Fest. So
looking forward to meeting you. Worms. Yeah.
We should bring some chalk to Pork Fest.
So I want to talk about...
Obviously.
I want to talk about near-death experiences.
You had one?
Well, I had one I talked about a while ago where I was in a car accident about 15 years ago. I was a passenger. Nobody was drinking. It was broad daylight. Perfect, beautiful, balmy Southern California weather. Somebody tapped our car going, 60 down the highway. We went into a spin, spun about 4.5 times, maybe it was 2.5 times, across 4 lanes of traffic, nearly got hit by 3 cars, and ended up on the other side of the road facing the opposite direction.
Whoa.
And it was kind of a... It was kind of a like life-changing experience for me for a little while because my life did not flash before my eyes, but I did have conscious full-sentence thoughts while it was happening. I thought, I may die or be in the hospital for a long time, and then I thought about grabbing the wheel from her, and I heard this voice in my head. It was my voice, but it said, don't grab the wheel, and I didn't, and if I had, it probably would have been worse because we did not get hit, and we might have if I'd grabbed the wheel. And it kind of became an idea for don't try to control everything. Don't try to grab the wheel in life.
Wow, I like that.
And
has that philosophy worked for you?
Yeah, for the most part. Or always when I do it. It's kind of a thing of there's a saying in Al-Anon, it's don't just do something, stand there. And it's not leading people to a life of inaction. It's saying don't try to control situations you don't need to control. And I found that one very useful when I do it. But a lot of times I try to take it back. And then I had what was, I wouldn't say a near-death experience, but on my 50th birthday, 2 Sundays ago, my wife and I were watching a movie in my room, and lightning struck the tree outside the house and blew a bunch of bark off it, and it hit the house. I mean, it sounded like a lightning strike louder than I've ever heard one. And then, like, we saw the flash through the window and heard it at exactly the same moment. If it's far away, you can count the seconds between it. It was instantaneous. And milliseconds after the lightning strike, we heard a bunch of things hit the house. It sounded like someone was out there with baseball bats hitting in rapid succession. And it was a 20-foot strip of bark 2 inches deep into the tree, 5 inches wide, that was just sheared off the tree and thrown at the house and all over the yard.
Wow.
And,
yep.
And it was God tried to kill me, and I shook my fist at the ceiling and laughed and said, "Ha ha, you missed." And I'm still here. And I don't know if you guys had any near-death experiences in your life and how they changed you.
Well, I had one that was nearly a fireball. Okay, I've had a car accident like the one that you described, that it was just shocking, amazing. I can't believe that I made it out alive with just a couple of scrapes on my hands. We were driving down. I was going towards the college on I-95 on the East Coast and cruising up. It was totally safe conditions except for it started to get a little bit icy. I didn't notice the black ice.
Yeah.
And I spun completely out of control just with a little bit of nudging on my steering wheel. Suddenly, I had no control over the car. We were spinning, like you said, about 4 times. We hit the median in the center and then bounced back into the road. I wasn't facing oncoming traffic, but it was definitely a danger because I couldn't get that car out of the road. Thankfully, a trucker pulled over. He asked, "Hey, are you guys messed up?" No, we weren't. Just trying to get to college, and he parked his truck so that the cars would see, like, "Hey, there's this huge truck in the way. You better get over to the side." And we pushed the car out of the way, and I was fine. Thank goodness, was able to survive. And another time, like, I had the gas stove on for a while, and then I went to light a candle and realized, like, that I had nearly blown up the entire house.
Oh my! You had if a gas
I had,
leak?
Yeah, if I had not, but opened the window from just a little bit ago, but I nearly just blew myself up in the whole house. It was really scary.
You know, I think there's a thing with ice and cars that's kind of like the don't grab the wheel. But I believe, if I remember from my driving lessons, I believe when you go out of control on ice, you're supposed to turn the wheel into the spin, not away from it. Like you do the opposite of what would be intuitive. Isn't that correct?
Yes, exactly. Yes, that's what you're supposed to do. In this case, it all happened so quickly. There's no way I could have told.
Yeah, but that's
kind of flashing before your eyes thing. That's true.
That could be kind of a metaphor too for, you know, the obvious solution is not always the proper one.
Well, I was actually reading something online about, you know, how to handle your car in snow and icy conditions when it gets out of control. And there's different types of out of control. And if you and how you handle it is different depending on whether you're in a front wheel drive vehicle or a rear wheel drive vehicle.
Right. So you should really get some practice, like doing some off-roading or something. When you get a new car, you know, figure out, try and make it go out of control and then in a safe place.
Or a big parking lot.
Yeah, yeah. No, yeah, you don't want to do that on the road. But yeah, in a safe place, you try out a couple of things and make sure you would know what to do in an emergency.
Ian, do you remember definitively which it is for front and which it is for rear view?
That's drive? The problem. No,
don't guess. Remember. Don't guess. It's not going to help anybody.
No, it's worth looking into. I do remember that because I've got a rear wheel drive. I drive an old cruiser, police cruiser, and most of them involve just let your foot off the gas. Don't hit the brake. Just let your foot off the gas. But the ones with a front wheel drive were a little more complicated in general.
Weird.
So, Derek, how did your life flash before your eyes?
Well, it more flashed before my eyes with the fireball thing, even though nothing happened. Like, when I was in the car, it was like what you described, where I could think in full sentences. I was, you know, trying to gain control, thinking, oh, how am I going to end up at the college now? I'm going to lose my keys. And, like, weird things, like... Not that, I could be dying in the next second. I'm thinking about my keys and how I'm going to get into the college once I survive. But the fireball thing was the real one, because as soon as I lit the flame, like I realized it was almost just over. Mm. And it was sort of a reflective moment. It wasn't as much a imminent death is coming. It was a, whoa, I just made it. Like I just skipped out on death. It was sort of a Final Destination moment where death was supposed to get me.
Did you shake your fist? Did you shake your fist at God and say,
"Yeah,
that's a kind of interesting image to me." The shake your fist at God. I remember I went to see my friend's band play one time. As Helios Creed was the band, and my roommate Bean was the bass player. And it was this little tiny club in Oakland that had a balcony. So they were like a place you could sit up as well as down on the dance floor. And my friend Bean, his ex-girlfriend he'd just broken up with, came to the gig with her new boyfriend, and they were up in the balcony making out. And and between every song, he was flipping them off. And somebody reviewed that show and didn't realize there was someone up there he knew and said, "This is a weird band. They're really cool." And the bass player kept flipping off God between every song. He didn't know there was a balcony up there because you can't see it from the back of the room. Yeah.
Great stuff.
Yeah, it's weirder to believe in God and not like God than to not believe in God. It's the most hopeless thing there is. That's like the guys in Fight Club. They believe that there's a God and he doesn't like you.
Isn't that a maltheist?
Yeah. I guess there's a name for it. That's pretty cool. It's pretty dark, man.
You're listening to Michael Dean After Dark, and I'm speaking directly to you. Yes, you. This is Michael Dean from the Freedom Fiends. I've been on the World Wide Web since its inception in 1994. I've tried dozens of web providers in that time. The only one that hasn't broken my heart is HostGator. HostGator has unlimited server space, unlimited throughput, and a guaranteed uptime of better than 99.9% for only $150 a year. You can pay a little less elsewhere, but you'll pull out your hair dealing with anyone else. HostGator has great service and unlimited tech support, only a phone call away, 24/7, 365. HostGator is where pros like the Fiends host, because we know how to do it right. Go to freedomfiends.com and click on the HostGator affiliate link on the right sidebar to sign up today.
and you get free Bitcoin, and you get free Bitcoin. Look under your seats, fiends. You get free Bitcoin, and you get some free Bitcoin, and you get free Bitcoin. We're not really giving away Bitcoin, but we want to talk about charity. Go, Derek J.
Hey, well, a few days ago, there was this Twitter handle called Hidden Cash, or at Hidden Cash, and it's this anonymous philanthropist in the San Francisco Bay Area who was tweeting out clues about hidden $100 bills. They were all around the San Francisco Bay Area, and people were actually finding these bills thanks to the clues. And they would have come attached with handy messages to the people telling them, you know, hey, get yourself a cup of coffee and do something good for yourself and do something good for someone else as well. And that was pretty cool. It was so cool, in fact, that a copycat has arisen in D.C. And now I Hid the Cash is doing the same thing in the D.C. area. What I thought was pretty cool, the reason it popped onto my radar is because there was a Fox affiliate in D.C. where it was one of the reporters who actually found the cash first. And I was suspecting that they pooled a little bit of their resources, or they used some of their investigative journalism to find this cash. They had a leg up on everybody else. So I hope that they do something positive with this cash. They actually didn't say what they were going to do with it, but I want homeless people to get it. I want people to be fed, and I want, you know, when people get a ticket, that their ticket gets paid for by some random stranger. Like, this is a great thing to do, and it doesn't just end with cash. I see possibilities for this with Bitcoin. Like, you started out, here's some Bitcoin for you. Why wouldn't people hide QR codes with private keys around the city? If they're not found, then the original user can still keep the Bitcoins. And if they are found, well, then they've been passed along to charity.
I have four thoughts on this. One is, there should be an anarchist copycat who gives out hides $100 bills with the note on them, don't pay taxes on this and do whatever you want with it. Secondly, I bet this is a viral marketing thing. I'll bet it'll come out that some company's doing this, just because I lived in San Francisco and that's how they did stuff there. Thirdly, it's reminding me of this thing. There was this guy in San Francisco when I lived there called Drunken Claus, who would go out every Christmas week, dressed as Santa and give out liquor to homeless people. I thought that was hilarious.
Wow.
Man, he really made some people's day.
Yeah.
What was his incentive there? What could it possibly have been? Just
theater,
that he
fun.
Liked it?
Theater, yeah. Fun, you know, knowing, being cynical about, you know, if you give them a dollar, they're not going to spend it on food. They're going to spend it on alcohol.
Give them what they want.
Yeah. There were a couple guys in San Francisco that begged on the street really creatively. One was a black guy that had a sign that said, give to the United Negro Pizza Fund. And in San Francisco, it was kind of like, you kind of earned your begging by being funny and making people laugh. I thought that was really cool.
I like that. That's quality. At least they're working for it. You know, it's not just a simple put out a cup. That's a handout. Yeah. At least the comedy brightens people's day, makes them laugh.
Yeah, you get a lot of that on like a place like Venice Beach. I went there one year during the one of the talk radio conventions, and there's all kinds of performers out there. And really,
the guy on roller skates with the guitar. That guy's in movies too, a lot of movies.
Mm. I'm starting to get suspicious about your claim here, Michael, that it's some company, because they said in one of the notes, yeah, well, it's a guess, right, that there was a note attached to the money that this Fox anchor found. It said, hi, buy yourself a coffee and a bagel. Then consider buying one for someone who can't afford it. Use this platform to do good and encourage others to do good.
No,
but
it's the coffee
and a bagel thing, I think, like, what if it was right next to, say, a particular
coffee and bagel
store?
Place? Yeah, I think
exactly.
I think it's the bagel industrial complex.
Right. Well, could you see yourself doing this with Namecoin or Bitcoin to get people interested?
I'm so over Namecoin, man. Namecoin's so last week. You don't know this?
No, I guess I didn't know that.
Yeah.
I thought it was still helpful and useful.
Well, it would be.
It can still be used for stuff.
It still can be, and it would be if people used it. But most people, other than Ian Freeman and a couple others, and Scott Beezer, who actually did make a .bit mirror of their site, most people are waiting for someone else to do it. You know, they kind of think like, well, when the internet takes away our .coms, the nerds will fix it. And I'm like, the nerds have already done it. It's Namecoin. But it was a combination of that and just a lot of infighting and lack of organization with the Namecoin team. I don't think
how big is the Namecoin team?
Six people.
Oh, okay.
I don't think they're the ones to bet on. I'm betting really strongly on BitShares, which does a bunch of things, and one of them is distributed DNS, and it's going to be released pretty soon. They're a lot more organized. Disclaimer, I've done some paid consulting for them, but in that, I've seen how they work with each other, and they're so solid. And the guy who runs it, Daniel Larimer, is a total ANCAP. Namecoin guys are kind of statist.
You're listening to Michael Dean After Dark, and I'm beaming these words into your cerebellum.
Hey, this is Nathan Explosion from Death Clock, and you're listening to the Freedom Fiends on the radio. Worms.
This is the Iron Hamster, Michael Dean. And we have Derek J. I introduce everybody every episode because I figure people are driving in their car and they only hear one segment. Every segment. Derek J. is, of course, the Warrant Canary, and we will say worms because we've not been contacted by the government. Derek and I decided during the break, during the trip to the free market, that the granite coot doesn't really work for Ian because he's not very coot-like. So we're going to rebrand that one over to Mark Edge. He is now the granite coot. And we're trying to think of a name for Ian, an animal wrestling name. And what did you say, Derek?
Oh, I don't know what I was thinking what about. Do you suggest? Oh, something like a hawk, some cool bird.
You can't do that because a hawk is something people call someone who goes after children, and Ian's been accused of being a Pied Piper, so we can't do that one.
You know, speaking of Pied Piper, just to completely change gears, have you seen Silicon Valley?
I've been there. Davi lives there. What do you mean?
Do you like Mike Judge, the creator of Beavis and Butthead?
Yeah.
Mike Judge has a new series out on HBO. It's called Silicon Valley, and it just wrapped up its first season after 8 episodes. And it's great. I highly recommend it.
I saw a few minutes of it. Somebody was tripping. I remember that.
It's a hilarious show, and actually the company there is called Pied Piper. It's all about, you know, Silicon Valley, and it's kind of got all these tech memes to it, and essentially they are developing a compression like a lossless compression algorithm. That's kind of the plot of the show, and there's a lot that goes on, and it's just funny stuff. I recommend it.
I saw it and I didn't really love it enough to pursue it. There's a show about early Silicon Valley, early 90s, actually about the Silicon Prairie, which was Texas Instruments around there. It's called Halt and Catch Fire, and it started this Sunday on FX, and it is stunning. It's one of those I'm going to watch every single one of them. And interestingly, the creator of the show is named Christopher Cantwell.
Wow.
Now, is this like a reality kind of like
– no relation.
What kind of show is it?
The closest thing I could say to it is it kind of resembles Mad Men, but it's
– So it's fictional.
It's fictional, but it's got characters kind of similar to Mad Men.
Really, how many shows is Mike Judge producing now? I mean, gosh, is he working on just that one at a time, or he has like a million shows?
Well, I don't know about a million. What else is he doing? I mean, he had Beavis and Butthead. They came back a couple
King of
years
ago. That
movie Office Space was great.
About Office the future. Space.
King of the Hill's not under production, though.
No, it's long gone.
That's over? Shows how much I know.
Yeah.
One of the girls OD'd. The girl that plays Luann OD'd.
Oh, goodness.
Oh, whoa.
You don't know that? Yeah, what's her name?
She was also in 8 Mile.
She played the girlfriend of the character played by Eminem.
Wow. No, here I am thinking they're still putting out new episodes.
Really?
No, they've got a new, completely new show. Check it out.
No.
Cool.
Yeah. No, that girl died, man. She died of a drug overdose.
Sad.
Brittany Murphy. Yeah, she was the one that voiced.
All right.
Yep. Well, I'll pour some Diet Coke out on the ground for her right
Sorry,
now.
Sorry, I totally derailed where you were going to go. You were going to talk about Maltheism or something.
Yeah,
right?
I was going to. Well, first I was going to talk about how great I am because I'm a talk show host and I like talking about that. Somebody posted on the Freedom Fiends Facebook today, which I'm not. I don't do it. Some fans do it. Lusander and a couple other people do it. But somebody posted, the Freedom Fiends is the only podcast I don't have to crank to maximum volume to hear. Most other podcasts make me fear I've gone deaf when I need to max the volume on my MP3 player to even hear the hear it over slight background noise. Then I switch to the Fiends and almost do go deaf when I hear a cast at the right volume leveling if I haven't adjusted accordingly. Here's a little news you can use. I do that by, first of all, just recording really well, and secondly, normalizing to, normalize to negative 10 dB RMS in SoundForge. Every piece of spoken audio I do that with, and it's like, it is loud. You open it up in an audio editing program, and it looks like a brick, but it still has enough dynamics in it to sound really good. I also use a tube compressor. Ian doesn't use tube compressors. What kind of compressors do you use there, and voice modulators?
I use the Symmetrix 528E.
Which is kind of a one-stop, does everything, like EQing, compression, leveling, equalizing.
Yeah, the problem with me, though, is I don't know anything about audio engineering, so I just kind of take the throw it up against a wall and see what sticks approach.
Well, I'll say this. You guys from that studio connected to me sound better than all my co-hosts who are connecting via the $60 mics, and they sound better than most podcasts. Mm. So,
aw, thanks.
Did you consult with somebody when you were building your studio?
No.
You just bought stuff. You just said.
I just, I'd worked in radio, and I'm technically adept enough to kind of put the things together and, you know, plug the wires in where they need to be plugged. And, you know, I'm not a fool, so, you know, I can make it work. I just don't know about, like, how exactly compression works. I kind of have an idea for it, and I can't tell you exactly how the de-esser works on my sound box here, the 528E. I mean, I have some basic concepts, but I just never really – there's so much tweaking you can do with these things. I don't have the ear for it or the patience for it,
really.
Well,
you tweaked them to, like, basic good settings. Was that in the manual, or how'd you learn to do that?
Honestly, I don't think I don't know.
Don't you do it by ear though? I mean, you talk into it. You have the headphones on, and you say that sounds good or bad. And
yeah,
you
but it's also hard to do it that way too, because you'll get fatigued listening to yourself.
Well,
talk like that.
Yeah,
and then it gets hard to tell between the highs and the lows, and what you should turn up.
Yeah, when music engineers are mixing songs, they generally, as a rule of thumb, don't work more than 4 hours a day. On that, because your ears are not worthy. Even the best ears get fatigued to where you're not going to give your best mix after 4 hours of listening.
I think the manual had some quick start thing, and I kind of went through that, and that was about it.
Yeah,
I hadn't even considered that ears aren't completely passive; like they're actively working to tune things. That's brilliant. I hadn't even considered that you need a break.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, and you know, I've never had Ian on the Freedom Fiends. I've had you on Anarchy Gumbo before, which was kind of the precursor to Michael Dean After Dark, which was kind of the precursor to the NEMA-less 7-day-a-week, 6-day-a-week live Freedom Fiends we're doing now. And we still
You're right about that, yeah.
We have the Michael Dean After Dark liners on the nighttime show, but it's going to get branded over next Monday, so it'll be real Freedom Fiends.
Ah, exciting.
But it's already the Freedom Fiends. It's on the Freedom Fiends site. But, you know, I wanted to thank you publicly on here, Ian, for kind of being my mentor in radio and, you know, putting me on LRN, helping give me tips. You helped me set up my studio. You told me what equipment to buy. I mean, some of it I went out and researched myself, but you told me what mixer to get and how to get a Comrex and what that is, and did a bunch of tests with me and, you know, put in a good word at GCN and helped me get on there. And I've really appreciated it. And it's been a lifelong dream of mine to be on radio every day. And I don't think it would have happened.
I like helping people's dreams come true. Aww. Isn't that nice?
Excellent. Thanks, man.
Yeah. You know, I mean, there's what am I going to do? Keep everything under wraps, keep everything a secret. I'll have people call me randomly. Just I don't know who they are. Just people in radio. I've had them call me before because they got my number from somebody or, you know, saw the ad in Talkers or something like that. And they just want to kind of pick my brain about, hey, how'd you get started? And I'll just sit there and talk with them for, you know, 20 minutes or however long is necessary to sort of answer their questions. And, you know, good luck.
Wow. Whereas all the time in the world, you're just ready to answer calls and customer service department.
You know, why not? I mean, people need help. They called me. They asked for help. I'm not going to say no. Good. Screw you.
Whereas I'm pretty helpful to people and do help people a lot with sound stuff. And one of my goals is to open source this show. I basically have 10, now 11 co-hosts and rotating. And, you know, some of them have experience like Derek, but some of them have never been on radio. You know, I listened Davi is getting really, really good. And people have been commenting cool. And like he and I are getting a really good rapport that's almost approaching what Nima and I had. And the same thing with a couple other people like Lusander and a few other people on there. Garrett, I don't want to say any more names because then someone I'm going to forget somebody and they're going to. But, you know, there's some that
they're
are
all
really,
great.
They're all great. And there's some that are. But here's the thing. Davi is the most improved player. I listened yesterday while I was gardening to or while killing weeds. I was listening to an interview where we interviewed Davi on the Freedom Fiends about a year and a half ago. And I just got to say it. He was horrible. Even as an interviewee, I mean, his audio was bad. He didn't have a good, vibe like blah, 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 like that. And he's just so good on radio now. He is. I can say how bad he was because I can say how great he is now. And it's just been from having him on a lot and giving him some sound tips. And I'm basically, they said the Southern Poverty Law Center has said of Alex Jones, he doesn't build bombs, he builds bombers, which is a ridiculous, mean, wrong, incorrect thing to say. But, I'm building radio hosts. I want to build 100 of them. I want to make 10 new shows and have it's a franchise with no money. It's like I want these 10 people in a year to go start their own 10 shows and then have 10 new people on learning.
We do have an amazing group of people in the Liberty community that really puts in a lot of hours doing talk radio and doesn't make a dime off of it. Derek J is nodding. Of course, he's one of them. Does his own show, Peace News Now, of course, twice a week. And, we got Daryl Perry now. He's cranking out a newscast 7 days a week, which is a tremendous level of dedication. He's up here every morning in the LRN studio at 8 a.m. cranking out the news for the day. Just an incredible dedication. I mean, of course, on LRN, there's shows like Ernie and Angel, who and now Scott Horton's back on LRN, as a matter of fact. And all of these people, I don't have any money to pay them.
Scott Horton is now took my advice. I gave him advice and really stressed to him, you need to get your interviewees to use Skype instead of the phone. And he's like, yeah, maybe that would sound better. And I pressed him and pressed him and pressed him. And he's been doing it. And it sounds so much better, man.
Oh, it's a whole new world with Skype for interviews.
Yeah, it's gotten a lot better. I mean, I hate to say it. It's gotten a lot better since Microsoft bought it. It's probably because the NSA wants us to be talking more on Skype because it's easier. It's easier to tap. Yeah. And yeah, I'm really open to helping everybody. Although my phone number is unlisted. And if anyone, when people call me on my phone, I'm like, who are you?
How'd you
get my number?
And by the way, if we're handing out appreciation, I would like to thank you, Michael Dean, for helping Derek and I with Derek J's Victimless Crime Spree. I don't know if you know this, Derek, but it was Michael who hooked us up with the DVD supplier.
I do remember that.
Victimless Crime Spree. And of course, now Stop Free Keen is attacking Derek J's Victimless Crime Spree because they believe that we're making buku bucks off of selling the images of the people of Keen.
The fact that we have
the DVD is what's really upsetting them.
Yeah, they also said something about using copyrighted music. And didn't I make that suggestion in a rough cut? And didn't you switch it all out with copyright-free music?
The DVD version is copyright-free, royalty-free music. Yeah. The original theatrical version does have copyrighted music.
They're looking for any way to use the government guns. And the government's just not trying. They don't care. So they're bringing their own guns. Yep. We'll be back with a discussion about misotheism for the last segment when we come back from the market.
You and the hamster in your brain are listening to Michael Dean After Dark.
This is the Central Scrutinizer.
I steal your labor by force through taxation.
My job is to spy on you and keep you from hearing things like the Freedom Fiends. I especially do not want you to
torrent Freedom Fiends episodes to keep them drone-proof. Do not go to freedomfiends.com and click on the torrent link and learn how to
torrent Fiends archives.
Do not go to freedomfiends.com
and click on the torrent
link and learn how to torrent Fiends archives. Do not go to
freedomfiends.com and click on the torrent link
and learn how to torrent Fiends archives.
Michael Dean, the Iron Hamster, shaking my fist at God. And for the last segment, we're going to discuss misotheism. reading from Wikipedia, misotheism is the hatred of God or the hatred of the gods. In some varieties of polytheism, it was considered possible to inflict punishment on gods by ceasing to worship them. Now, Ian and Derek, do you think this has any kind of parallels to the state and making it go away?
Well, yeah. The first thing I think of is the Pledge of Allegiance. I think people from other countries are surprised when they hear that school children in the U.S. recite the Pledge of Allegiance
really?
To the flag every day.
I thought a lot of countries have a pledge to their flag.
Apparently not.
No, there was recently a reporter here in Keene from France, and she couldn't believe it. She had to ask other people to confirm that it was true. She had heard of the Pledge of Allegiance, but that's one way that people could stop worshiping the gods is to pledge allegiance to a flag representing some pretty nasty things sometimes.
When I was in seventh grade, I refused to say it for a while in school. And
why did you?
How'd that go for you?
Did you start again?
It didn't go well. I got threatened with being beaten up by the football team, and I went in and started saying it and going through the motions.
Was it your peers who threatened you?
I have no peers.
Was it authority figures?
No, it was horizontal enforcement. You know,
the slaves.
Yeah, I think that was intentional.
Scary.
It was like, you know, I told the teacher politely I didn't want to say it. She talked to the principal. They said, well, you cannot say it, but you have to go out in the hall while we say it.
Wow. Mm. Why would that be? So the other children don't see that it can be done?
Oh, to like punish you, you know, like, oh, you have to go stand in the corner or whatever, you know, go out.
That
the
happened
hall.
To me in high school too. They kicked me out of the room for not saying the pledge.
I don't know. More time in the hall, less time in the classrooms. Doesn't sound like such a punishment.
Yeah. And there was a girl who just moved there from Canada who wouldn't say it either. And she'd be out in the hall and she was pretty and I got to talk to her. So
nice.
Did she want to pledge allegiance to the Canadian flag? Was that her issue?
No, I didn't really understand. I kind of got the feeling her parents didn't want her saying it. She didn't say that, but she was kind of evasive about why she didn't want to say it.
You know, it also occurs to me, this misotheism thing. It's possible to inflict punishment on the gods by ceasing to worship them. Like with the police, if I interact with the police in a way that they're not expecting, like just treating them just sort of like an average person, that can sometimes be seen as inflicting punishment on them. They often don't like that.
They don't know how to handle it in some cases.
No, like if I say, hi, I'm Derek, what's your name? And, you know, like that's a very typical thing you could do to anyone, go up to a stranger on the street and strike up a conversation. But it doesn't typically roll out the same way with a costumed officer.
When I was in college, there was a party at the group house I was living in. It was like, you know, six guys renting six rooms in a house. And they trashed the house, my roommates. They got really drunk and totally destroyed the house. Like they had criminal charges. And I actually had criminal charges. I had criminal charges and avoided getting served and then got dropped from the criminal pursuit. But long story, and actually like these guys came and tried to kill me later because I didn't do any of the damage. I got all my equipment taken away, like $2,000 worth of musical equipment by the landlord and his goons. Because they'd trashed the house totally. And in repentance to myself, I stole my roommate's guitar amp, which was $300, and left the state. And they came from upstate New York to Virginia looking to kill me and couldn't find me because I'd moved. And one of the three guys who came, one of them later murdered one of the other guys, like just got high on speed, out of his mind, ran into his house with a shotgun, shot him in the chest. Went to a diner at night, had a cup of cocoa, asked the lady who ran the diner if he could use the phone, called the police and said, I just shot a satanic drug dealer.
Well, that beats my bad roommate story.
Yeah, I got out. I don't even know where I was going with that, but it's been a good show, guys. I really enjoyed it. Maybe I shouldn't shake my fist at God so much. Maybe God looks after fools, drunks, and little children.
Worms.
And worms. And the lowliest of worms.
This has been Michael Dean After Dark. I hope we've helped calm the hamster in your brain and left you in a better place than where we found you.
We'll be here 5 nights a week, same time and channel. In the meantime, go to michaelwdean.com for more. That's michaelwdean.com. Thank you and have a wonderful evening. Good night.
Okay, Ian's post-game. This is the post-game fiends. Go ahead, Ian.
Right, so radio listeners did not hear this story. My bad roommate story was my first time I had roommates. I had one roommate who was really cool, Tetro. Another roommate, Rob, he was a nice enough guy, but he had some problems with drugs, apparently. And I didn't realize that. You don't always know these things when you get into a situation like this. So I was, 20 at the time and first time outside of the house with outside of my parents' house. And actually, it was my parents' house, one of their other houses that we were renting. And so this dude, he disappears one weekend, and we're kind of worried about him because normally he's fairly communicative and would let us know if he was going to be going out of town or something like that. And so my other roommate and I were wondering, oh, where is this guy? What's going on here? And so we end up finally getting a call from him. Apparently he'd gone to some kind of a warehouse rave and had gotten rolled, was his claim, meaning, he'd been robbed. And he woke up in his truck. He was missing stuff, missing his wallet, et cetera. We had to go out and pick him up. That was the first time that he'd kind of had like a binge weekend where he disappeared. And then another time he also disappeared after that. And he didn't come back for a number of days. And we were just like wondering, where is this guy? What is that? Hopefully, is he in his room? Is he okay? Because his room was always locked. Like, his door was always closed. We never went in there. And so, after he had been gone for, I don't remember how many days it was. It was at least, 5 days or something like that. And we hadn't heard anything from him. We decided we should go in his room and see if, see if he's in there, see if anything's in there. And we went in his room, popped the door open, and he wasn't there. He was on some kind of drug binge somewhere, who knows where. But what was in his room were mounds of clothes. Piles and piles of dirty clothes that had just been thrown on the floor. And apparently this guy had such a large wardrobe that he had worn new clothes on a daily basis, but we couldn't see any evidence that he'd ever actually washed his clothes. So he would wear his clothes from his wardrobe and then throw them on the floor and go out and, put a new pair of clothes on and go out and do his date. Now, there was a washing machine and a dryer at the house. So, he wouldn't have had to go very far had he wanted to do some laundry. So he hadn't done any laundry, apparently, the entire time he lived with us, which was, most of a year, I think, at that point. And also what we found in the room were all of the bills for the house. He had been the one who'd put the bills in his name. So we'd been giving him money with the intention that he was going and paying the bills, which he apparently wasn't doing for at least a portion of time. I don't know what, probably for the last few months or something like that, because the power hadn't been shut off yet. It was just, in arrears big time. And so I had to take all those bills and then go and pay them all. And that was a mess of a situation.
That's really hard.
Nowhere near as bad as your roommate.
Have you stayed in touch?
With Rob? No, I don't know what happened to the guy. But Tetro, yes, I go and see him. Cool. Every time I go out to LA, he's out there, and it's always fun to catch up.
Is that
with
where
him.
You were living in LA?
No, this was Sarasota, Florida. But Tetro moved out to LA after that.
I have a that's a good roommate story. I have another one that's really short. If you want to hear it, it's funny.
Yeah,
I had a roommate. This is when I was recently off heroin, and I was living in a house with about four other guys who were recently off heroin in San Francisco, and one of them had his girlfriend living there. And one day our roommate came in and went to the girlfriend's room and said, "Hey, my girlfriend's making this art film for school. Can you make me up like a woman?" And of course she's like, "Yeah, absolutely." And
that's always fun.
Yeah. Made him up like in drag, as best she could. And he's like, "Okay, great." And then his girlfriend pulled up in a car and they split. And like he disappeared for like 10 days. And after about 10 days, we get this knock at the door. And it's this middle-aged man. He's like, "I'm Bill's dad. I'm here to pick up his stuff. He's in prison. He robbed a bank."
Oh.
He robbed a bank in drag to try to get away with it.
Wow.
Yeah,
did he look good?
I didn't see him, but he had relapsed on heroin.
Oh man,
and was not telling us about it. And apparently, he'd robbed 5 banks in a series of months.
Wow.
Yeah.
How do you get away with that? How do you rob bank number 2?
It's a little,
usually don't get that far.
It's impressive.
I've heard some skills. This there was another guy I knew. It was a bartender at a bar I was used to go to that had robbed 4 banks and been arrested. It's probably harder now with cameras everywhere on the highway and everything, but it used to be not that hard to get away with robbing a bank of, you know, of the money that the tellers have, which isn't that much. You know,
You're usually going to get away with 2 grand or something like that.
Yeah. Big take. Yeah. You know, to really rob a bank the way they do in the movies and get everything in the safe, it's not easy. But yeah, people used to get away with banks. In LA, people used to do it a lot because a lot of banks were right next to a freeway on ramp and people would rob them and then take off. But I don't think they get away with it anymore.
Right. Wow. Great story. I'm sorry that happened to you, though.
It didn't happen to me. It just happened.
All right, Derek, bad roommate story. You've got to have one, right?
Oh, no, I've had great roommates always. I've always had great roommates. I'm trying to think of, because I don't know.
Hopefully I won't be your first.
It's been great. It's been great living here.
Didn't you live with Adam Kokesh for a while?
Oh, that's clearly the best one. Yeah, yeah. No, okay. So that's
been well documented, though, elsewhere.
Well, he was the worst roommate for sure.
Tell us something we don't know about him. Although we should call him and see if he wants to defend himself. Although isn't that how it works on the internet? You say something and someone it's like rap.
You do
a rap video at the guy. You know,
it could be.
He could do a podcast in response.
He's free to do that. No, I don't think there's anything unusually awful about Adam. One thing that no one else knows that made it particularly awful is that he likes to work out to Nickelback. Nickelback is his go-to workout music, and that's awful. I mean, they're the staple awful band that you'd pick a name out of a hat of like horrible.
It's kind
bands,
of interesting
Nickelback.
Because they have a reputation as being really bad. Like there's something on on Family Guy where it's like, you know, no, there is no God because otherwise there wouldn't be Nickelback.
Yeah, but,
you know,
exactly. Bad.
They're not that bad. I don't think they're that bad. I think it's an Emperor's New Clothes thing that everyone just says they're bad and they're really not. They sound
people
a lot
just
like
love to hate them. It's one of those things.
Yeah,
I never liked.
They sound like Nirvana.
What's one of their songs? I don't really know.
I can't
tell. Eyes Wide Open, right?
I don't like them that
wide
much.
Open.
No, that's Creed.
That's Creed. I think they're the same band though.
Yeah, they do kind of sound like Creed too.
Yeah. Well, anyway, that's my bad roommate story. I'm sticking to it. Well, thanks, guys. I'm gonna get high.
All right, I'm going to edit audio and then watch cop shows. That's my that's my secret shame.
I'm going to bed. Going to call radio stations in the morning.
All right, take care, man. Thanks.
Oh, that's right.
Thank you guys for your service. Bye.
Wait, there's a truck.